Welcome, everybody, to Taking Stock. Looking forward to getting started today. It is it's not September yet, guys. It's August 28th, 2024. And looking forward for kind of just have a more casual kind of sit down, honest conversation today. I wanted to touch on basically, you know, short story, the diligence that is required when you're operating in online spaces, when you're researching, when you're trying to learn. Truth be told, there's just a lot of information out there all over the internet, everywhere that we all spend our time, different social media groups. Anytime you're on Reddit, anytime you're on X, anytime you're on any of these places, it's an inundation of perspectives, of sources, of claims, of assertions. And of course, there's some good primary source facts in there too. And not to say that folks aren't aware of that. I think people are absolutely aware of that, but kind of just wanted to take some time here and detail some of my thoughts about how important it is to keep these things in mind and to carefully appraise when you are operating in these online spaces. It's just important to, you know, develop some good habits and some heuristics for that. So before kind of jumping into some of the primary issues I want to cover from that perspective, just want to mention that, you know, if you're listening, if you want to come up, if you have something to add or anything like that, just go ahead, raise your hand. Love that about the live format of this show here on X Spaces, and be happy to speak with anyone today. So, you know, with that in mind, we'll hop right in. So I guess from the start of it, right, the first thing I'd want to say is just commend anyone when you are operating online. If you're trying to increase your knowledge of a subject, you're trying to get to know something better, you're trying to become more familiar with a topic, that's excellent. And that should be encouraged. And it's wonderful anytime somebody is expressing curiosity and, you know, wants to better their understanding. That's really terrific. And it would be wonderful if, you know, there were places that we could go online where you knew that discussion was going to be, you know, always canted towards developing that curiosity, providing good sourcing information, people having honest conversations with each other. But what I want to start by saying is that, unfortunately, we can't always rely on that reality or expect that reality on the internet as we have it today. There is a continuous possibility for, you know, bots, for disingenuous actors, for trolls or for shills. These things exist. And anytime that you're operating in a public online social space, you know, you can't really know upon first blush what someone's perspective or persuasion is. And it's tricky because we should encourage and look for open communication. And one of the most important things to facilitate that is to stay on topic. You know, if you've joined any of the YDRS, you know, social spaces, you'll know that we really pride ourselves on, you know, we try not to devolve to calling people, you know, trolls or shills, et cetera, try to engage them on the context of their argument, because that helps to keep things on task. If you end up just getting distracted about labeling a person this way or that way, then it sort of detracts from anyone's ability to constructively learn about the topic at hand. And so I guess the first thing just to mention is that, you know, you can always engage on the substance. And so in order to do that, you have to be able to identify, you know, kind of what that substance is and develop a good habit to just look at the claim and think to yourself, okay, well, you know, are they providing sources for this? Does this seem like, you know, a grounded perspective? Or is this an opinion that they're providing? Because someone can have an opinion that is niche or that maybe is like defending of the status quo. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're some type of actor, which is, you know, working for the powers that be or anything like that. I see that sort of jump to conclusions sometimes in my circles, and I would just, you know, encourage first to avoid that. To just you know, remember that people can have their own opinions whenever they're sharing their perspectives. There's no necessary association between, you know, a person who thinks that, like, you know, if someone says, like, oh, I think X government leadership is like the best that there's ever been, and you know, maybe they're not getting into a lot of detail, and there's no need to engage like purely on the concept of that idea, because it's an opinion. You can't really, you know, they'd have to be providing a lot more specificity before you'd be able to try to engage on the details. And so it can be helpful just to avoid engaging if a perspective is, you know, purely opinionated, or just, you know, if someone is soliciting an engagement out of you, you can just say, oh, well, that's a cool opinion to have. You know, can you, if you want to provide more details about how you got there, you know, then maybe we can actually have a more constructive conversation. I think that's a pitfall sometimes that people fall into. And it kind of goes the other way as well. You know, before even getting to evaluating sources or things like that, the same way that sometimes we can jump to conclusions as a people's about, you know, someone expressing a opinion that might be more niche or more different from our own, you also have to be careful not to attribute validity when someone expresses a perspective or opinion which is similar to your own. You know, that kind of confirmation bias is every bit is equally as dangerous as assuming someone has, you know, like some kind of nefarious or informed intent because they happen to disagree or happen to have be coming from a different place. The same sort of stuff applies. You know, if someone is expressing an opinion that you happen to share, I mean, that's great, but it's not, yeah, it's not really constructively adding to a conversation. And, you know, chiming in and being like, you know, that's absolutely right. You know, I mean, that's all well and good, but I just wanted to remind that, you know, it doesn't really make your stance or perspective any stronger. You need to be able to identify how did you get here? How maybe did they get here, and kind of work forwards from there. And it's really going to be helpful to develop these sorts of habits, because online, you know, as I've mentioned, not only are there are bots, you know, there are disingenuous accounts, you know, we know these things can exist, but there's even more, you know, bizarre methods by which organization, the information itself is organized. Some examples real quick, you know, that to keep in mind when you're looking around. First thing that comes to mind, you know, search engine optimization is a real thing. You know, like when you go on Google or, you know, what's it, DuckDuckGo, you know, any of these different, you know, search engines, and you're typing in a query, the information that's fed back to you isn't going to necessarily be whatever the most direct, most correct answer is to your question. It's going to be the website which has, you know, understood the algorithm best for that particular engine and was able to feed it back to you in that way. Or, and that's not even getting into, you know, things like sponsored links or how clicks are further incentivized through advertisements, through data analytics. You know, there is a war for your attention. And so, yeah, I'm sure, I think people are aware of this, but maybe don't keep it front of mind whenever they're evaluating a conversation in a public space, because those same sorts of things can be true for if you're searching for like a X or Reddit or Discord community that is aligned with an idea that you're looking to learn more about. You know, these same sort of functions about how these communities get organized and searched up apply, and it's going to be important to have that kind of you know, that kind of skepticism in mind, that kind of context in mind when you're first engaging with any of this sort of information. That's not to say that you don't want to engage with it. I mean, there may be some very handy things there, but it's just important context. You know, once you actually start to read along and you can develop some habits, you know, kind of looking for, you know, if someone is only stating, like, you know, giving sentences without any links back to sources or any citations, you know, then you can start to develop heuristics about, okay, well, this community or these individuals maybe are more comfortable sharing opinions, and, you know, kind of leave it at that. And then you can always press them in these public social spaces for sources or look for other people that have. In my mind, you know, communities that that have a habit of sharing those sources or expecting them from others, those are going to be the most curious and ones where there's upstanding information available. That's something to seek out as much as possible. And the same, and as far as, you know, evaluating those sources themselves, I guess that's kind of, you know, the meat of the episode here, because I wanted to levy all that introduction by way of saying that it's not quite so simple as, you know, reading something online and they're all, look, they have a citation to such and such article. That must mean that this, you know, is well cited, because the rabbit hole really can deepen whenever you're trying to understand where someone is coming from or where a given article is coming from. And where to begin with this, you know? I think at the front of it, I'd want to just shout out, you know, things like Wikipedia, Investopedia, you know, any of these wikis, or, you know, I guess is what I'd call them, wikis. But essentially what these things are community sourced, they're community moderated information centers. And typically, right, you know, they're going to have over time, ideally develop some kind of consensus perspective on whatever the item is on that page. And again, typically they're going to have some type of decent bibliography at the tail end. I see often online and on my online communities, and because this is a, you know, typically it's a financial podcast, we cover financial sector ideas and concepts. The one I see the most often is Investopedia, and it's not an ideal source. You don't want to just link to an Investopedia page and use that as your end-all be-all, just because it not only is it a changing and fluid page, but it's not necessarily going to have the most holistic perspective of whatever the thing is that the page is about. And what do I mean by that? You know, I guess in my experience, Investopedia ends up being canted a lot towards the status quo in terms of its moderation of pages. Things like, you know, direct registration, you know, they're not been very welcoming of edits on that kind of page. Wikipedia is a little better, but what's even better than these things is trying to go straight to a primary source itself. For example, you know, if you head over to, you know, sec.gov or investor.gov, now especially investor.gov in this case, that's a, you know, a SEC maintained website, which does have some community built elements, but is much more static over time, and you know, is going to include a lot more direct sourcing information in a general sense than Investopedia, and has, you know, a huge glossary with thousands and thousands of items. You know, if you can find an Investopedia page on some term, there's likely, in pretty much all cases that I've seen, maybe all, a page for that same item on investor.gov as well. And that, in my view, you know, it's going to be so much better to jump right to a primary source on that if you're looking for a definition to help to ground communication with another individual or another group. That's going to be really helpful to just make sure everyone's on the same page talking about the same thing. And that kind of brings me to some of the other resources that you know, that our government, well, when I say our, you know, I'm American. I know we have four, you know, non-American listeners, but I mean the American government. You know, there are a variety of different U.S. government, you know, backed or maintained resources that are, you know, that are public and that are primary, that should be, in my view, you know, much more comfortable, much more accessible to regular investors. The next one that comes to mind for me is EDGAR. You know, that EDGAR is the SEC filing portal where all public companies are going to be providing all their public filings, things like, you know, Form 4s or 13Gs or proxy vote materials, you know, quarterly reports, annual financial reports, all this sort of stuff ends up in EDGAR first. You know, the company will release a, you know, do a press release, you know, indicating that their information is out. You'll see a whole bunch of websites like you know, MarketWatch or what is it, Turning Alpha? What is that one? Anyway, not to shout out anyone in particular, but, you know, there's tons of financial news websites out there that are reporting the information when it comes out in these filings or that new filings have been made. But what very few of them do if you look in those articles, what very few of them actually do is link back to Edgar for the plain text, for the actual filing from the company, which is easy to do. You can hop on Edgar. I'll link it in the show notes here, and you know, type in the name of the company or you know, the ticker symbol, any of these things. And they've got a very comprehensive search where you can either, you know, search within the plain text itself or for a specific filing type. And I understand that to some degree it can be intimidating to hop in this massive database and to look up specific filings, but I do believe it's well worth folks to become more familiar with these resources. Often, you know, you might see things online where it's, I'll see tweets, for example. I don't have any examples to share, but I'm sure you guys can think to examples of this when you've seen these sorts of things. All it is, it's a screenshot, you know, and then some text following the screenshot. Such and such company, you know, claims this thing in their filings, made a filing that said this, you know, but there's no link to the filing itself. There's nothing like that. And sometimes even the person is drawing a conclusion that maybe is evidenced in to some degree by the screenshot. You know, there's some kind of implicit interpretation there. But if you look up the primary source information, you go to the filing itself, sometimes there's a different story. Sometimes the filing maybe is a bit older than what than the tweet was representing. Or sometimes there's other paragraphs or sentences that are cut off and change the interpretation of the information there. And it's unfortunate when, you know, I've seen folks that have, you know, large followings that will make this sort of low effort contribution to the community discussion, and people take them at face value for that interpretation, which is really the dangerous habit that that I'm trying to drive at here. It would be more helpful, I think. It's helpful already if community leaders, if people that have followings are in the habit of sharing their sources and really explaining thoroughly their interpretation of those sources, which I don't think we have enough of. That'd be helpful, but what would be even more helpful is if in an individual basis, folks develop the critical perspective and the habit to try to look into some of this stuff for themselves. Edgar is great. It's a bit clunky. I mean, it's a tool that's decades old. There are plans to improve it. The SEC did have open for public comment earlier this year. I believe it's closed now, but there was open earlier this year, the opening of the Edgar API so that people would be able to more efficiently develop data scraping tools, things like that. I was quite interested because of the YDRS database that we're building, of course, but it's going to be helpful for all sorts of reasons. We'll see what happens. The comments aren't public yet. They're still deliberating, but I'm hopeful that they take some kind of step in that direction. Even in its current state, you can, as I mentioned, search by the plain text, you know, grab an excerpt from, now in that example, from that screenshot, you know, type it out, and you can pretty quickly find, in most cases, whatever the individual was likely referring to. And, sometimes what I'll try to do is pop in with that when I see it in a thread and provide the information. But, you know, the more folks that are doing that, I think the greater we can kind of raise the bar as far as the capability of interpreting this sort of data. And it's not just Edgar. It's not just investor.gov. You know, anytime someone is talking about something like, for example, inflation data, you know, the M2 data, you can go right over to federalreserve.gov or like stlouisfed.org, you know, and I'll include these links again as well. But there are primary source reportings that you can use and interpret for yourself rather than just kind of going off of subsets, screenshots, and so on, and perhaps getting a incomplete understanding of what might be happening. Another really great one that I wanted to kind of shout out here, which is absolutely huge, bigger than Edgar, really, but the federalregister.gov is a pretty incredible resource, which not only when like the SEC or any of the other public bodies, they change a document, update a rule, you know, they'll post it on the SEC's site, but it also heads over to the Federal Register, which is kind of the home for all developing changes in all of the U.S. government agencies. You know, there's hundreds of 3- and 4-letter agencies that are constantly updating based on their, you know, their meetings, different notes that they have. A lot of this, you know, I mean, I've never checked 99% of the subsets of data in the Federal Register, but anyone listening that has some specific interest in some specific aspect of government power, you know, you can learn a lot about what your, you know, what representatives are thinking and doing, whether or not they're elected or nominated, by examining the changes in the Federal Register and, you know, meeting notes and all that sort of thing. So I think a lot of folks may not know about the resource. So definitely encourage to check that out if you're at all curious. Yeah, I know that's a ton of dense information I've laid out there. And I'll take a second to share a link. I'll share a couple of these links in the Nest as well here on X for those that are listening now. So I'll just be silent for a second while I'm putting that together. In the meantime, you know, if anyone does want to hop up and chat about any of this stuff, I'd be more than happy to chat with anyone. I mean, this is really just the tip of it, too, because as I've covered so far, yes, the government has a lot of disclosures for this different data, but the government, you know, government agencies and departments are not the entire financial system, as we all know, you know, if you are a consistent listener. There are a lot of self-regulatory organizations, such as the, you know, the DTCC, such as FINRA, which are gigantic and influence heavily the ins and outs of the financial system. And they also are helpful primary sources. You know, although they are self-regulating organizations where that they, you know, kind of make their own rules for their members and operate in a authoritative role for those in their body, they also are in part managed by these regulating organizations. So what that means is, you know, when the DTCC or when NSCC or FINRA, anytime they want to change some part of their reporting metric, they need to posit that to the SEC, which then is going to, you know, not only, they also have that open for public comment as well, by the way, in case anyone wants to, you know, in case you ever are interested to look at that. But point being, you know, these reporting regimes were helped put in place by, you know, these authoritative bodies. And so you can hop on there, look at any of their disclosures as well. They have their own reportings to share. They're not as detailed as I'd like, but there are certainly items in there, such as, you know, contributing members, such as, you know, anytime that there are, you know, fines or anytime there needs to be like compulsory action made from the top down, the SRO towards a member. You can always read about that sort of thing. And it's helpful to just to be able to check that out as well. Yeah, I guess that's really the core of it. You know, I would love for there to be a developed better habit, because I love the curiosity that I see in the community. You know, people want to know more, and that's so wonderful and something to absolutely encourage as much as possible. But I, from my perspective, I think there's a balance there where it's so important to want to learn, but it's also so important to be careful about the source from which you're learning, or to prepare yourself to seek out, you know, multiple sources, you know, try to corroborate your understanding or challenge your understanding by seeking perspectives that, you know, perhaps, you know, interpret the same source document differently. Because data, primary source data, is just one thing. Ultimately, you're going to be developing your own subjective interpretations of that public data, and from there, drawing your own conclusions about what might be happening. And then, naturally, like so many others in an online space, you're likely to go on and to share your perspective about what you've read. And that's wonderful. And again, that should be encouraged. And I would not want for anyone to be beset by, users accusing them of having some specific like monetary incentivization to share some specific perspective. I just don't think that's ultimately helpful. What's so much more helpful is being able to have constructive conversation, not just about whether or not sources are helpful or primary, but are also about the interpretations themselves. This clearly, this data set clearly says this, but when I compare it with that one, I get the impression that maybe there's this correlation. And someone else could say, well, okay, but if I compare it with this one, I get this other opposite correlation. I think that's terrific too. As long as everyone remains grounded, that once you are adding your interpretation onto something, you are creating a secondhand version of the data. There's like that game of telephone, where we can all start out with the same access to the same information, but fed through different individuals' interpretations of it, and fed through different things online, then you can end up with something quite different. Like if I was trying to recollect a unsourced tweet that I saw last week, maybe I get some details wrong. Someone else tells that story again a bit later, and all of a sudden, maybe it has nothing to do with whatever the implied original source document might have been. And in an era of information overload, prosperous access that we have today, it is, and the incentive structure that exists to draw us towards specific data sets or to pay attention to kind of how we spend our time online, as I mentioned at the lead, items like SEO, items like like data analytics and so on, it becomes all the more important to keep these things in mind and to really exercise careful diligence when trying to operate in an online environment. Because it's so wonderful that we're all here, that I can speak with folks about this sort of thing today, and that anyone, of course, can come up and express their own perspective. But we don't have any sponsors here, but if we had, right? I don't know. There's you can't ever be too careful, I think, is really the moral of the story here. And I would not want for it to be exhausting for anyone. I personally think it's some good fun to try to find the try to trace back sometimes when you see an outlandish unsourced claim, try to figure out how that sausage was made. As its own exercise in curiosity, but other folks may have a different interpretation, and I'm definitely understanding of that as well. Hopefully that's where, as a community, we can come together, and even if, 10% more folks develop those kinds of habits and can kind of espouse that within the community, then I think we can really raise the floor about, just raise the floor of diligent understanding and diligent sharing of primary source materials, and developing a familiarity with these tools that are provided to us by either the U.S. government or by these SROs that are, in part, have their rules to some degree overseen by, these regulatory agencies. All right. Well, thanks so much, anyone, for stopping by. Thanks so much, our future listeners. This is a subject that is fascinating to me. So certainly if you do have any thoughts about it, you can certainly reach out, and we can always talk about it in the future. Stop by the Discord, stop by our Lemmy, or you can always reach out by direct message or email at hi@ydrs.org. Thanks so much, everyone. For some housekeeping, I will be not available for the show next week on September 4th. I'm seeking for an alternate host to help out. And on September 11, I am anticipating to have a great guest. What can I make today? Who is a terrific community member and contributor to the DRS effort. So we'll look forward to, you know, a wonderful surprise mystery conversation for next week, and then an excellent interview with What Can the following week. So everyone have a great rest of your August. These dog days are nearly over, and have a, you know, have a wonderful one. We'll catch you next time. Bye.